whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here we go. News last night. Cowboys denied the request of the Bears to speak with Mike McCarthy over the last 19 hours. A lot of people weighing in on this. Let's resume the conversation. General at your service. That is. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboys scout, NFL executive, Super Bowl champ. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there, master control here, fixing to go 5. Woolchuck and Schiafalo are in the house, and so is Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105 through thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Looks like chances are very high Mike is back, but insiders across the board are saying it's no guarantee, guys. That's what I'm picking up.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport with Sean and RJ said the Cowboys declined it just because they have the exclusive window mm-hmm. and they're going to exercise their rights. Rappaport felt like, there was never a chance that they would give the Bears that opportunity. I guess I just disagree. You know, I think it's insiders that want to break the story and they want to keep this story alive. And maybe Jerry or Steven or their sources inside the building are saying it's not over. But I would just be shocked, you know. If Jerry is holding out to talk with Mike without a pretty much ironclad agreement that they'll hammer something out in the next couple of days or over the course of the next week or something, that's where I'm at. I would just be shocked if Mike McCarthy's not the guy at this point. Where are you guys at with it?
I tend to agree with you. I mean, it was interesting that Diane Rossini on Pardon My Take said that the Cowboys have been doing a little bit of work on some head coaches behind the scenes over the last few weeks, which I guess I would think if they did any work and there was somebody that they liked, maybe then are you more open to saying like, hey, Mike, if you want to go talk to the Bears, go ahead. But to your point, Rap Sheet earlier today with Sean and RJ made it seem like he would have been stunned if they did that anyway. Like, even if they're not keeping Mike, you just don't do it. I mean, he can wait a week if he wants to and he's out of contract, then you go do it. But right now you're ours, you know, so I don't know. But
you could have done that at any point yesterday, but you do it after you meet with Mike.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think that he's staying. I think he's coming back. But yeah. I am curious, what are those names that maybe they've been doing some legwork on?
Yeah, I was intrigued by that as well. Maybe Belichick, who apparently multiple teams have been talking to, even though he has the deal there at North Carolina. Now, that story has an update in the last hour or so, right? He's not leaving UNC. He's not interested in a return to the NFL at this point.
He's not leaving.
Yeah.
So where are you at with it, Brian? What are you hearing?
I kind of feel like that Jerry's now negotiating with Mike in a way that he is going to try and make him the type of offer that Jerry Jones wants to make.
Yeah.
And that he is going to put the ball in Mike's court. And if I'm going to give you this, I need you to do this. And if you like the deal, we'll sign this thing up. If you don't like the deal, then, you know, you can move on and take that interview with the Bears or whoever else you want to interview with, because you're not going to be here. I think Jerry's taking this as an opportunity to maybe put Mike's feet to the fire a little bit and try and get this contract. You know, maybe there's some coaches that Jerry doesn't particularly like on staff. Mike is, you know, we talked about play calling responsibilities. You know, maybe there's some things that Jerry would like to get corrected before he offers Mike this contract. And now it's really, you know, Mike's decision, you know.
Yeah.
I think if it gets down to it, you know, even not offering permission, if you're trying to negotiate with somebody and they turn you down, is that's Jerry's fault? Or is that, you know, he's trying to just say, okay, fine, I'll negotiate with you, but here's what I'd like to do. And Mike, of course, would counter. And if they don't agree, then, you know, they tried. So there's really like nobody can say, well, damn, Jerry blocked him from going and interviewing from the Bears. No, Jerry's just executing his rights to negotiate, but he's also probably going to hold Mike's feet to the fire a little bit. And Mike has the opportunity to counter and say, no, I don't agree. Or, yeah, let's do this. And I understand the stipulations you put on me here, and let's sign this thing up and go. So I think that's where we're at right now.
I just feel like, and Brian, you can follow this up, or Eric, I'd love to get your thoughts. After they met, I feel like maybe they don't have a hard agreement on those terms yet, but they have a gentleman's understanding that we're heading in the same direction.
Yeah, you know, you need to get Don Yee involved here some way, some time. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the agent.
The agent. I mean, he needs to, he's going to need to come into play here. Mike at one time had Jimmy Sexton, who is a power broker for a lot of coaches.
Yeah.
And he's since left Jimmy and picked up Don. You know, but if you're going to start to hammer this thing out, I think you need to get the agent involved in it and see where they're at. But I'm sure that Jerry kind of walked Mike through what the expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
And now Mike can take those to Don Yee and say, hey, here we are.
If I'm Jerry, I just want to know, you're not trying to kill me, right? You're not trying to double your salary or anything like that. We're going to go with a regular sort of, you know, protocol raise for the job that's been done. And, you know, you're willing to accept, you know, whatever defensive coordinator I want. And I want to tweak the offensive coordinator situation as well. Yeah. We're not bringing back Schottenheimer and you're not the play caller.
Yeah.
And if we agree on those things, then I'll start talking with your agent, Don Yee.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. I think that's where all this is at right now. I think that Jerry has taken this opportunity to say, sure, I'd like you back, Mike, but I'd like you back on my terms. You know, and Mike, to his right, will say, well, listen, Jerry, I don't agree to that, and I'd like for us to do this. And then Jerry could counter and say, okay, fine, we will. And then, you know, then maybe you have a deal. Or Jerry could say, no, the parameters that I set forth in the deal, that's what I'm not going to budge on that.
But I do think if Jerry had said anything in that meeting that was a deal breaker for Mike, we would have heard that, you know, like this isn't going in the right direction.
I think Mike is in a situation where he's listening to what Jerry is having to say. And now he's going to have to go make a decision. And that's where maybe he needs a couple of days. Maybe he sits down with his family. Maybe he sits down with Don and makes a call and says, hey, listen, this is what we're up against right now. I think this thing is going to take some time. I don't think it's... Now, Bobby thinks...
And next Wednesday isn't too late, well, right, Bobby, to get a look from other opportunities.
Bobby thinks that maybe something could be done maybe Friday with, you know, the Cotton Bowl being here, Jerry being with, you know, all that stuff. Maybe you can have some type of an announcement there. The league frowns on you breaking news during the playoffs. They really don't want you to do that. You know, they're like, listen, let's make it about the games and not the Dallas Cowboys here today.
But let's make it about the Dallas Cowboys.
No, but that's the league. I'm just saying the league asks you not to do those things. I think Mike is going to likely need a couple of days if in fact Jerry is making some requests of him to weigh out if especially if it's involving his coaching staff, because we've heard Mike McCarthy talk about how he feels for his coaching staff, you know, and if he feels like that he can't take care of them in the right way, or he has to lose a few of them along the way, this might be a deal breaker for him. He might, you know, Mike McCarthy doesn't need this job, but his assistants do. You know, a lot of these guys don't have the wealth that Mike McCarthy has, or the built up wealth. So this is a tough decision for Mike. Do you take a 2 or 3 year deal, likely a 3 year deal, maybe less money, maybe less control of some things, maybe the fact you have to sacrifice a couple of your coaches, you know.
And you can't call plays.
Bears are talking to 15 different guys. Nobody else is ringing up the Cowboys.
That's the problem. I mean,
there's nothing else out there.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem that Mike has. Mike needs the Mike Vrabel program where everybody's wanting to interview him.
Yeah.
Now, if you get the Saints involved, if you get the Raiders involved, you get other teams involved. Now there's a sense of Jerry can't strong arm Mike like he probably wants to, because Mike will have opportunities. With the Bears being the only team in play right now, Mike's got very limited options, I think.
Yeah, and not much leverage, I would think. I would just not buy it. You know, the odds are, you know, less than 10% that he gets that gig. I mean, there's other guys out there getting a lot of interviews. Aaron Glenn, I think, has 4 or 5 opportunities already lined up, and he's still working in the playoffs. Okay, but the hot story in the NFL, Belichick had been reached out to by multiple teams, including one Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who according to reports, left New England in part because of the bullying from Bill Belichick, but definitely, you know, understands that that his ways deliver results, so that wouldn't be a surprise. Former Wisconsin and Miami quarterback Tyler Van Dyke coming to SMU. Torn ACL week 3 of this year for the Badgers. He had been off to a pretty decent start there before he got hurt, so congrats there to SMU for getting one in the portal. Mavs settle into a playing style that I enjoyed last night around Spencer Dinwiddie as the main facilitator, and the Lakers' pathetic defense was more than willing to cooperate. as you can get them, you know, definitely. And the Mavs end up with 52 points in the paint. Quentin Grimes hit 6 threes. So they'll host the Trailblazers tomorrow now with some added momentum and maybe Mavs fans hoping that, you know, they can get this thing turned around and still manage to stack some wins even without Luka. And Kyrie, what'd you guys think of the performance?
Great job last night. I thought this team was closer to the 13th hole than they were the fifth hole, you know, with the way things were going for them. So nice job. Lakers came in town. Lakers actually playing pretty good ball. But you're right about their defense. God, it was awful last night, but good for the Mavs. They've got to find a way to pick some of these wins off. I didn't have the Lakers game as a win in all my things.
Especially not on a back-to-back.
Yeah, but that, you know, great job by the staff to get the guys to play the way they did, and they found something for at least for one night.
Well, apparently last night before the game, PJ Washington stepped up to speak with the team, said everybody has to recognize the fact that we have to take responsibility for wins and losses. There's no help coming. So let's go out there and get the job done. And as the game was coming down the final 5 or 6 minutes, he's making multiple big plays and the guys are coming out. And maybe this is, you know, him emerging as a leader in the absence of Luka and Kyrie. No doubt about it. He's an incredibly talented player, made some big plays. But you see how the guys are reacting to him. And maybe this can be one of those moments where the adversity galvanizes another leader and makes the team a little bit tougher for that, push. I remember the Spurs dynasty in the 2000s, and you could have multiple of their guys out and they would still execute Pop's game plan like the superstars were in there, but somebody would step up and, you know, fuel them to winning streaks even without like Tony Parker and Tim Duncan at times. So I do believe the Mavs roster is really, really good. This isn't like regular role players. It's a bunch of good playmakers across the board.
It was an amazing effort. I mean, 52 paint points, and then they also were just shooting at an extremely high rate from three.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like they're just exchanging trips down the floor. It was like PJ hits a big three. Here's Hardy with back-to-back threes. Boom, Q dot, getting it done. And there was a moment in the game where the Lakers made a run. LeBron has that big dunk, and I'm like, oh no, is LeBron about to just put the Superman cape on, and he's just not going to let the Lakers lose? And they weather that storm. And seeing the bench, like how into the game Kyrie was as well, like this team, there is still that special energy connecting these guys. But last night, everything was working against a team that had Anthony Davis and had LeBron James. So as a Maverick fan, like that's exactly what you needed to see to be able to get your optimism and hope back.
Yeah, it helps when the Lakers come out flat on both ends. You know, the amount of points you scored and were able to hold them under, you know, was just terrific. It was like an oasis in the desert.
Yeah, and the end of the second quarter I thought was wonderful, and then they carried that momentum into the third. But like with the way Klay Thompson starts going scorch, and you can just see the effect that it has. As soon as Klay Thompson's doing what he does at the end of that half, now all of a sudden the Lakers are like, crap, we're going to have to be glued to him, and he's just the ultimate floor spacer.
Yeah.
And so that impact was huge, and I feel like that really started to ignite everything for them.
Yeah, but making your 3-point shots is going to be a huge part of this, and last night was so incredible because you can see how much less time that guys have to catch and shoot if it's not Luka and Kyrie, you know, having that gravitational pull into the paint. You know, and the quality of the pass isn't there. So to shoot 47% from 3-point land when you desperately needed it was a gift from the basketball gods. I don't know if you can count on that, but I'll take it. Coach J.J. Redick said members of his family were among those in Southern California forced to evacuate their homes. Must have been anxious for him last night because of the wildfire that was being whipped by strong winds around Los Angeles. I mean, you could imagine coming out flat. You're getting ready for the game, and you're watching these images on social media. And some of the video is terrifying. The guy inside of his house. With you guys see
this? Fire around him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just unbelievable. Best of luck to everybody out there fighting that today. Okay, what a game for the Stars.
Dude.
I didn't realize they went down 3-0 because the scoring happened so much, so quick while we were on the air last night up.
It was awful. It was just a terrible start. I couldn't imagine even a more worse start for the Stars.
But
for them to rally back, the Rangers are kind of struggling right now themselves. But hey, you're good for the Mavs. They continue to win. Continue to do things well on the road. It's amazing how, just when you kind of feel like that maybe those things will slow down. No, they really pick it back up. And, you know, great job by the captain to get the game winner last night.
Yeah, yeah, and Harley there with under 3 minutes to go at the end of regulation after you go back down 4-3.
Oh,
and I mean, they just kept answering, right? Like, Robo ties it up at 3, then they go back down 4-3. Here's Thomas Harley with a beautiful goal. And then the overtime winner by Jamie Benn, I think it was his 12th, his first since 2022. That's the most, obviously, in Stars history. But, I mean, that's a resilient bunch right there.
They're very resilient.
And no Mason Marchman.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just never out of the fight right there. And I think Otter now has hit the 20 wins. I think he's the third goalie this year to hit that. And he wasn't at his best yesterday. The rest of the team lifted him up. But an outstanding win on the road against a team that is going to be fighting for the Stanley Cup final.
All righty. And then FC Dallas traded Jesus Ferreira, hometown kid, to Seattle. Most decorated homegrown player in franchise history. Son of David Ferreira, who played here 15 years ago. They get Leo Chu $1 million in general allocation money and some other general allocation money, international slot cash.
What kind of player is general allocation? Is he a good player?
I was wondering what the hell you thought about this. Like, should FC Dallas fans just be super ticked right now?
I mean, it's more of the same. I actually don't mind it with Ferreira, even though he might be one of your all-time leading scorers. But I was just not ever that impressed with his game, so it opens up an opportunity to find another striker. And, you know, they get a pretty good haul in cash and allocation money that maybe they can
allocation money
sign other players
general
with.
Allocation, it must be a hell of a player.
Yeah, the second player in MLS history to record at least 30 goals and 20 assists in his career before turning 22.
Boom.
So there you have it, 60 seconds on soccer. Best of luck to FC Dallas getting this roster put together before the season starts here, not before too long. What are we, about 6 weeks away? Okay, when we come back, we have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Best audio from the world of sports. What are we doing next, though, Wolchuk?
All right, let's do it. Some NFL true or fart off-season edition. You true or you farting on these bold predictions for the offseason? That's next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 8 minutes. Segment of the Nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's Zach.
All right, we got some bold offseason NFL predictions, which means we had to play a little bit of NFL true or fart. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or fart, false, Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All right, we're going to start in Vegas with the 80s. They just canned Antonio Pierce. True or fart, Brian Broaddus. I'm going to make this a duo here, all right? The Raiders are going to trade up to number one overall. They're going to take Shador Sanders, and they're going to hire Deion to be their next head coach.
Got to go five spots, right?
I got to go five spots. And maybe it's not number one, maybe it's number two, but they're moving up to get Shador because they can't stay where they are and get him.
I think that Tom Telesco, the general manager there, senses what's about to happen to him. I would say that there's some truth to that. I'm going to go with the truth because I kind of feel like that he needs to make a really bold move here. So trading up and doing what he needs to do. If he has to give up more and it turns into somebody else's problem, that's somebody else's problem.
That's a good point.
So yeah, I could see the Raiders absolutely doing that.
I think they're going to absolutely try, Wolchuk. I don't know if I could pick them to do it because, I mean, the Giants, Browns, Patriots all ahead of them wanting quarterback. If you need one, are you trading back? You know, I don't know. I guess there's one team you could trade in there with.
The Patriots are holding the number one pick, right?
No, it's the Titans.
My bad.
The Titans are the one. Titans at one, Browns at two, Giants at three, all are very likely in the market for quarterbacks. So that's going to be tough. So that's why I would probably go fart here, because I'm sure the Raiders would love to do that. Unfortunately, they won a couple of games like schmoes and played their way out of the number one overall pick.
This could be a situation where the Titans currently don't have a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
So who is going to be the guy that's going to come in there and take this over? And maybe it's somebody that comes in and says, we're a talent poor team, you know, and maybe we need the picks. Maybe nobody feels really good about these quarterbacks too. I'm kind of getting the vibe on that. So maybe it would be beneficial if you went ahead and tried to go ahead and grab picks and then address your quarterback situation at the top of the second round. But I'm not getting the vibe that many people feel great about these quarterbacks. I haven't looked at them myself. I'm waiting for a little bit more film. But if someone's going to overpay to go get one of those guys,
maybe the Titans would just say fine.
Yeah, fine. You know, we're right now we need a lot of help, and so they might be willing. I mean, we've seen these teams use bridge quarterbacks too, to be able to make that work. I mean, maybe you can get a chance at Kirk Cousins or somebody like that to come in and help you.
Rodgers.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah, something like that.
There'll be some names out there.
Yeah.
But it probably requires Deion saying Shador's only playing for the Raiders. You know, you got to go full Archie Manning on this.
Sure.
I think the lure for the Raiders to do that, I think it will be really, really great. They will overpay. They will overpay for that spot.
Yeah, I think true. I think they are going to try and move up to go get Shador. And it might be two with Cleveland. Cleveland might just say maybe we don't love any of the quarterbacks in this class. Yeah. And move back, and they still are locked in on the Watson money. Now, I have seen that they could do kind of what the Broncos did and just eat that and say we're moving on, like what they did with Russell Wilson, and maybe they do fall in love with one of these quarterbacks. But also, I don't know if Prime would then block Cleveland from drafting Shador. Maybe they're like, we're not going to Cleveland. Like, it seems like New York, they'd be open.
Yeah.
Vegas, they'd be open. Tennessee, the rumor is they love Cam Ward, but that's a great point. They don't have a general manager.
Who
loves Cam Ward then? Is the owner?
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, that's
a fascinating conversation.
The problem is, like, say, with Tennessee without that general manager there, and you don't have an idea. This could be a guy that has had general manager's experience before, and you have a little bit of a track record, a little bit of history with somebody you could kind of know how they draft. So until they have that, I think all options are open for that first pick being moved until a general manager gets in there.
Okay, let's do a true or far to here, Gavin. Ben Johnson ends up staying with the Lions again.
Okay, so, I mean, the best opportunity is what, New Orleans? What's his best opportunity?
New England, I would say. But I think that's going to be Vrabel, ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like every team but the Jets are going to interview him.
It seems like the Saints are in that mode of letting a guy like Sean Payton set up shop and run everything, right? So,
I think Jacksonville's in play here, too.
Oh, yeah, Jacksonville and Chicago, of course.
Jacksonville's in play, Gavin, because I think that maybe because that owner came out the other day and was just talking about, I'll blow the general manager out if you give me a better option.
So he's got two options, one of them with a quarterback. I'll fart on that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately, I'll go fart as well. He's going to go Raiders, Patriots, Bears, Jags. Those are going to be the teams he's interviewing with. And I don't know, maybe the Tom Brady factor in all of that with the Raiders makes things feel a little bit more enticing for him there. But, I'm guessing he ends up going to Chicago or Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's a fart. I think he's looking at his next team right now.
Yeah, fart on that as well. I agree. Okay.
You got to go at some point when you're close to the top. You can't bet on the Lions continuing to be successful. Nobody stays on top for long.
True or fart here, Robert Saleh is not going to go anywhere as head coach. He's actually going to go back to San Francisco and be their defensive coordinator.
Ooh, okay. Do they have an opening?
No, but it's that Nick Sorensen, I think, is their DC. He's a first-year guy.
He left. He quit. It's Dunsky there, so they got an opening.
Okay, well, that would make a ton of sense. I was thinking the best defensive coordinator position at this point would have been the Bengals, because it's like, man, you got a high-flying offense there. Go get that defense together. You go do something special. But with the connection, of course, with Shanahan, that makes a ton of sense. I could see that. I don't see him getting one of these head jobs either. So DC in San Francisco, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, it's just a numbers game. You know, what are offensive coaches outnumbering defensive head coaches 2-1 now? You have around 20 candidates looking for jobs. So just the sheer numbers game of it, I'd take the field.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I think Dan Rossini actually reported that the 49ers would offer him. Like, if he doesn't end up taking these jobs, then
yeah,
he's got a guarantee.
It's like, hey, dude, you can come and be the DC again because we got an opening and we need you.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has an eye on these fires in L.A. Appreciate the coverage over here, brother. But here he is with the G-Bag of the day.
Yeah, man, isn't it crazy? The Palisades area of California. And I was only familiar with that area because of Arnie Spanier.
Is that right?
That's where he came up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stunting on us, boy.
I didn't know.
Arnie came up stunting on us.
Ted Nichols Payne took us through a drive-thru back there one year because we had so much time to get to our flight. He was like, watch this. You know, just got off the highway and went up into those hills, yeah. And everything is just
mind-blowing, right?
Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah, I think Arnie went to school at Forrest Whitaker and all types of wild stuff, he told me.
Badass.
Arnie could have just been.
That's weed. That's weed.
I don't know. He was kicking it.
I always imagined him growing up in New York playing stickball, you know, with the way he
talked. Sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like it. All right, let's see what we got right here. Dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-da-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba. Our winner so far is the church clip. It was a choir during the holiday season decided they were going to sing Silent Night to the congregation. Now, I don't know why this fella decided he should be the one lead singing this one, but I'm glad he did.
Silent night.
I love it.
Holy night. All is calm. All is bright. Round your bird, mother, child.
The choir of the pack is so awesome.
Holy infant, yeah.
He said, yeah.
Yeah.
Tender and mild. He was feeling it.
Sleep and heavenly.
Yeah. Afterwards, he's like, God, I crushed that. Everyone's giving him an attaboy. He feels great about
the confidence,
it.
Yeah. He said, yeah. And the choir was doing their job.
Yes, they were.
Choir was doing their job. He was somewhere else with it. But I ain't mad at him, bro. Where the old folks hang out? I bet he's a star right now. Man, you know you went viral.
Got viral since the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, I went viral. Take a little penicillin, knock it right out. All right, let's go to Notre Dame right here, folks. What's their head coach's name? Freeman?
Yes.
Yeah. He's changing the vibe up there. The kids like him. The quarterback, Riley Leonard, put some respect on his coach's name during a post-game presser the other night. Getting ready for that game. What is that, tomorrow? When do they play? When's Notre Dame play?
They play tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
They play tomorrow night.
All right.
Orange Bowl.
All right, yeah. His quarterback put some respect on his name because coach is being a little too humble.
And so that's how I want this group to attack our preparation and attack performance when we have the opportunity.
Real quick, he's being humble. That was completely his play, and we were going to do it a different way, like 2 days ago. And then he flipped it, and we executed it that way, and it worked.
It's our
so
play.
He's being humble like, all throughout the year. All right, yeah, you know this guy. But I'll say it for him. Great call, great execution.
Great call.
Great call. Great execution, coach. Keep your chin up out there, coach.
Giving him his flowers.
Yeah,
that's
I like that. I like that.
Ryan Brothers could learn something from that.
I mean, think about the stark contrast between that guy whose players actually like and who they used to have in Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, my family. You reminded me.
Brian Kelly took away the what was that? They go to, what is it called when you're Catholic and you go to the
Mass?
Yeah, yeah. My grandfather was Catholic. I'm not being disrespectful. I just don't know. So, yeah, they go to Mass before the games. Uh-huh. Brian Kelly took that away.
Did he really?
And Freeman brought it back for him. And they said they liked that vibe. They kind of get to meditate and everybody's on the same accord.
Yeah.
You know, I was just watching some stuff on that Peacock app.
It's ballsy to take away the Mass at Notre Dame.
It really is.
Right?
I mean, that's the ultimate Grinch Scrooge.
Yeah. You guys played this yesterday. I thought it was hilarious. Tampa Bay call of Baker Mayfield.
So good.
Baker Mayfield is a dog, by the way. Oh, my God, he's a dog.
He really is.
He
really
is a dog, dude.
He's a top 10 quarterback.
Gosh.
This year.
Yeah, that call, I don't know who was on the mic. You guys probably know it, but he rushed out this call.
Yeah, Gene Dekaroff.
I love that.
That's every call.
Shot empty backfield look for Baker Mayfield now. Three receivers to his right. Good snap, belt high. Looking upfield, looking, flushed out of the pocket. Dances outside, throws the ball upfield. He's got a receiver. Open.
He can't wait to get to the next word. He just can't help himself. He's so impatient.
I love that so much.
Looking upfield, looking, flushed out of the pocket. Dances outside, throws the ball upfield. He's got a receiver. Oh, my God. Touchdown.
He's getting done. He's got to be one to his 80s, right? That's an older gentleman right there.
He is older.
Yeah, he's in his 80s doing that?
Yeah, he used to do, he was legendary Florida State football. He did both. He did Florida State on a Saturday and then Tampa on a Sunday, like forever.
Dang.
79.
Been eating long enough now. Yeah. Stop being greedy.
Yeah.
Nah, good for him,
He's legendary awesome. Down there in Florida.
Yeah, he makes me laugh. This is not one. Let me see. Where am I at?
Winner.
Yeah. Winner. This is not one, but y'all know Khaki Kev, right?
Khaki Kev.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Walker.
He was getting ready to do a read. And you know how you do a read? Sometimes you get it in your head.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get in your
you start drowning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's done.
And time stops. It
you
feels like it's taken
all over the place.
Yeah. Well, he got frustrated at himself. And I'm only playing this because I seen it. I was back there preparing for today, you know? Yeah. During their show.
Oh, okay,
and I seen him get frustrated with himself during this read. Listen.
It's a fan. It's Fan After Dark on 105.3 through the fan in this segment.
My bad. I stepped on that.
You know, I'm going to play it back. He was so frustrated. And it's funny to me because he is a ball of like nervous energy before he does this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's pacing back and forth. He's making sure he's got all his ducks in order, whatever cuts you need and everything. So I know how he, you know.
It's a fan. It's Fan After Dark. I want to fight through the fan in this second.
Audible exhale. Just disgusted with himself.
Yeah, dang, I feel you, dog.
Might just want to record that, you know, in Studio B. Get it nice and edit it up.
What do you say?
Yeah, that's a great read.
I remember my first PD asked me one time. I was recording myself and leaving it. He's like, are you voice tracking that? Because, damn, that is awesome. I was voice tracking. Like, oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
I was at Taco Bell.
What do you think? Time to vote?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, is it the champ, Silent Night, looking for three? Is it Coach Marcus Freeman being humble there with his quarterback? Or Gene Dekaroff?
The girls like Freeman.
Oh, do
they? They do.
These are the ones I watch the games with.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
That one.
Who's that?
Yeah. Oh, he's the head coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, chill out, Joy.
All these new young hot shot coaches across the NFL. So, wow, that's the head coach?
You're right.
It's the exact response. Yeah. Wow.
He's younger than you. You're a loser.
I got that during a Packers game recently with LaFleur.
Yeah, I was doing it with O'Connell the other day.
Huh? Take a kiss in.
Pause.
What do you say? Is it Kevin Walker in his own head during a read? I'm going to go with Gene Dekaroff there. I like that play-by-play call, Chief.
I'm going with Khaki Kev on that one.
Okay, Lucius.
Silent night. Oh, holy night.
We're tied at one, Wolchow.
All around young virgins.
Yeah, I'm going to go, Gene.
Brian.
Kevin.
We're tied at two. Jump onto at GBAG Nation's Twitter account. You can follow us all when you get there. Our handles are in the bio. Just got a text. School is already closed tomorrow. We're not even expecting the tough stuff until later on at
Which
night,
district?
Right?
Sunnyvale?
Yeah.
I think we should do our show outside tomorrow.
I mean, I don't mind. I'm sleeping in. That means no basketball practice at 6 a.m. I'll take it.
Early double week right there.
You guys got some weather systems over there in that district that I don't know.
I don't know what they're working with. That's just odd to me.
Dopplers and stuff
better
in the neighborhood.
Sorry, dude.
I suppose I'll take it. Okay, we want to jump onto @GBAG Nation's Twitter account and get to vote, and we'll announce the winner on the other side. And then where are we heading, Zach?
Let's talk a little college football playoff. The Cotton Bowl is bracing for the winter weather. Will Penn State have their star tomorrow night? And is the Rangers bullpen really complete? That's next.
All right, welcome back. It is the GBAG Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Man, some of these aerial shots of the greater Los Angeles area are just unreal with the urban sprawl and the distance that it goes on for.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and then now you see all the different fires. There's multiple fires burning.
Yeah.
You know, so best of luck to everybody out there. I know we've seen on text some people with friends and family out there they're concerned about.
Yeah, I'm worried about my guy, Stephen Thomas, our driver. lives in Pacific Palisades, and I tried to get a text to him and see if everything's okay. And we got the Rolex 24 coming up at the end of the month, and so I was just kind of checking up on him. But he's got a place up there that I'm worried about, where it sounds like that might be in that area.
He's up there by Steve Gutenberg. You see Steve Gutenberg out there on TV?
Yeah, Steve.
Trying to get
Thomas.
The people to move their cars.
Yeah, I saw this, Lucius, where there are bulldozers on the road now. If you've abandoned your car, they're using a bulldozer just to push cars out of the way.
That's the fire stuff that Steve Gutenberg is trying to get out the way. And then a darn dude, KTLA guy, holding the microphone of Steve Gutenberg and asking, who are you?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he said, I'm Steve Gutenberg. He was like, okay, well, where do you live? I'm like, well, damn, it's Steve Gutenberg, bro.
And who?
I know they was in his ear like, that's Steve Gutenberg. Steve Gutenberg.
Hold on, I got to Google something real quick.
When did he make the switch?
Get right back to you, Steve.
Yeah, he was out there moving cars and everything. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's very serious out there right now.
Here's Woolchuck with a very serious Chuck wagon.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting. Thank you so much for throwing it to me like this.
got it.
Taylor Rooks, Blake Griffin, and Dirk. They're going to be part of the Prime Video Studio show when the streamer begins its coverage of the NBA next season. So I'm pumped for this. I mean, I think that we all loved anytime Dirk got to jump on the Mavs broadcasts. Really, anytime Dirk speaks, I find it amazing to listen to. I love all the stories that he's been telling.
Yeah,
that
baby.
The Game 7 that they came out with, that show, and they relived the Spurs and Mavs Game 7 back in 2006. That was awesome, getting behind the scenes on that. So this is going to be a cool pairing. I mean, Blake Griffin's also a fun personality. Taylor Rooks, fantastic.
Blake Griffin, a stand-up comedian?
Yes.
Yes.
And he's pretty good.
Yeah. He is? Okay.
He's pretty good. He's funny, actually.
Yeah. I have not followed up with any of his stand-up.
Good deal. This might
but
be fun.
But this could be good. Yeah. I think this will be kept loose, much like, you know, they're probably trying to go with, like, similar NBA on TNT vibes, you know, with that deal. But
hard to do that. But
let's go, Dirk. You got this, bro. You got this. The Cotton Bowl is ready for the weather that's coming in town. Friday night, this is kind of a bummer. It's like we had the Super Bowl here. Of course, what happens? We get the wintry mix.
Make sure the ice goes not sliding on the people.
Yeah, now we have the roof. Yeah, that was a big problem. There was a lawsuit that came from that. Hopefully there's nothing like that goes
hopefully
on.
Hopefully nothing happens,
But they did issue a statement that they've been meeting routinely with city officials, the director of transportation for North Texas, and the college football playoff. Should the forecast shift, they're prepared for all contingencies. North Texas highways are already being brined, and plans are in place to assure a safe environment for everyone in and around AT&T Stadium on game day. I mean, Mike brought up a good point. It is possible, maybe day of the game, you start to see ticket prices drop that haven't been sold on the secondary markets. Maybe people are just like, it's bad weather out there. I don't want to drive in it. And you end up, if you want to go ahead and do that.
You say we could have a pandemic game then, maybe?
Get some cheaper tickets. I'm sure like all
25,000 people there?
Maybe. I mean, the Ohio State fans, they're used to this. They're going to say, screw it, this is not a big deal. I'm sure they're going to show up.
This is hoodie weather for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But for all of us in DFW that maybe locally purchase tickets because it's going to be an awesome game, yeah, maybe some are saying, oh, I'm good here.
Young Ben will be there.
Oh, he better be.
He's going to be there.
Now, tomorrow night, we get Notre Dame and Penn State. Notre Dame got some good news. Their star running back, Jeremiah Love, is good to go for this matchup with the Nittany Lions in the Orange Bowl. He has been, you know, dealing with, I think, a couple of things all season long. Nobody feels 100%, said James Franklin. He tweaked a knee in the third quarter of their win over Georgia. And he's going to be all right. So that's big time news. I don't think they'd have a chance to beat Penn State in that awesome defensive front. But Penn State's Abdul Carter, he's going to be a game time decision tomorrow night. So
that's big.
They think he's probably going to play. You know, I've been trying to read some of what the beat writers there at Penn State are saying. But I know today James Franklin was talking about it and said that we anticipate him to play. He's doing everything possible to play. His approach has been awesome. He's lived in the training room, but it is going to be a game time decision. So I'm sure we'll find out.
The text is saying the tickets are already down from 500 to 150. I would say the time to strike might be now.
Go for it.
Because as this storm arrives, people might figure out pretty quick that actually I'm going to be able to get around just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden,
maybe I don't want to sell those tickets.
Yeah. Maybe I'll jump on that.
If I could say something real quick. Did you look at the Notre Dame corner, Benjamin Morse?
I haven't seen Benjamin Morse, no.
Okay, but unfortunately, he's not going to play in this game. I mean, Penn State also has a free safety. I mean, I'm throwing out the name Benjamin Morse because I think he'll be in the mix for a cornerback that Dallas potentially could select. But also KJ Winston, Penn State safety, is another guy. It's a couple of second round, maybe late ones to second, top of the second round guys. Man, two really, really, really good defensive players.
Their defense is
not even going to be involved in this game today.
It's a big loss for Penn State.
But Notre Dame does have a really good, they have a safety named Xavier Watts.
Yes, Xavier Watts is a beast. I think he was a transfer.
Yeah, you need to keep an eye on Xavier Watts. He wears number zero, so if you're kind of looking for a safety dude that is a big-time player, Notre Dame has got one in,
could be
Watts,
the dude.
In Watts.
Well, shout-out locally to North Crowley's wide receiver, Quentin Gibson. He was named the Max Preps National Player of the Year. I mean, if you watch that state championship game against West, like, the speed just jumps off the screen. An amazing year for North Crowley, but he is a stud and is well-deserving of those honors. But yesterday, we had the Chris Martin news. You know, the Rangers signed him, and then we saw that Fenstermaker, the Rangers' new GM, you know, he was discussing that they feel like we've done the bulk of our lifting at this point. We're always going to look for ways in which we can upgrade the club further. So we're going to continue to be open-minded and creative, but they kind of like what they've got right now in the bullpen. I mean, there's still a lot of names out there that are available that are legit closers. You've got the left-hander Tanner Scott. You've got the right-hander Carlos Estevez. They're still available. And then Kirby Yates, who I was talking about yesterday. But Chris Martin might actually be the guy that they're looking at closing here.
Great singer.
He's a fantastic singer. The vocals we're going to hear here shortly.
He's a darn angel, bro.
79 career high leverage
innings. Play the piano, too.
For Chris Martin. 14 saves. So that's the most among the Rangers bullpen right now. They've also got Webb, who's got 6 saves. Hobie Milner's got a save to his credit. But I don't know. Maybe they are actually done unless Kirby Yates comes at an affordable price. Jose Leclerc, maybe they want to bring him back.
Has anybody talked to Kirby Yates? I mean, have you heard any whispers?
I haven't heard anything about it.
I need to ask a couple of people where Kirby Yates' situation is.
And it seems like that closer market right now, there's just not a lot of buzz on it. I'm sure as we get closer to spring training, that'll heat back up. But I'm surprised. I figured they would want to have like at least a certified guy. I mean, you still have some other veterans like Craig Kimbrell, Kenley Jansen, Paul Sewald, who was really good a couple years ago for the Mariners before they traded him.
It never seems to work out when they're like, well, we'll take a collection of guys and see if one rises to the top. It usually ends in, wow, none of these guys are really cut out for the ninth inning and we got to go find somebody. But I think they'll be able to find somebody if they get into the season and need to make a trade. It'll be doable.
I'm hopeful. But yeah, I'd like to rather have that solidified. The Twins are going to be selling. And this sale could reportedly be finalized by opening day. Now, we don't know.
The Pollard family?
Yeah. They're going to.
They've
owned it since 1984.
Yeah.
Late patriarch Carl purchased the club from Calvin Griffith for $44 million. Dollars. Yeah. Forbes has now estimated the Twins at $1.46 billion. They're going to make a nice return on that investment, but we don't know who the people are that might be buying it. That is still a mystery right now. So hopefully we get more details on that closer to the time.
You know, with I didn't mean to interrupt you there. You know, A-Rod has that interest in the Timberwolves.
Oh, he does. Yes.
I wonder if he's got some Minnesota people that would be interested in getting the Twins because they're having problems getting the Timberwolves. That owner at with the Timberwolves is not willing to.
Maybe they just pivot. Yeah, pivot, that's a good point.
Get the Twins.
That could be, and maybe that's why they're trying to keep it a secret.
That seems like a pretty good deal for a baseball team, doesn't it?
The Twins, yeah,
$1 billion. For a baseball team with a beautiful ballpark to go along with it.
Stunning.
You know, and you got a good team.
Very good team.
The Athletic said it was a robust market for the team.
You know what they say about robust markets?
Yeah.
Lucrative.
Very lucrative. Good opportunity. Cash in.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck.
No problem, man.
Always like a good Chuck wagon.
I like to wagon it out.
Okay. C-Note's coming up at 3:20. We'll take a look
shaking
at
that wagon.
Cowboys news of the
wiggle
evening.
Wiggle that wagon. Sorry, wiggle.
Throwing weight around.
Throwing weight around.
What I do best, boy.
Hey, by the way, can I real quick, Dawson?
No,
I
do real have quick.
It, real quick.
We're talking about like Gene Deckeroff speeds, okay?
No, Kirby Yates has got a big market. He just has
robust.
Had really low offer so far. That's what I was...
So he wants more money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right. I do have a developing news story. Kawhi Leonard has stepped away from the Clippers amid the fires. Oh. So I don't know. Maybe his fire, his house is impacted up there in Pacific Palisades. Hopefully everything is okay with Kawhi Leonard. And it's not just another reason to not play basketball for any possible reason that pops up in his life.
I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't want to go there.
He tiger fist pumped when the news broke that there was fire.
Gotta go,
my
guys.
My house within 50 miles. I'm not playing, boys. Sorry.
NFL news today coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking
it? Yeah, we'll give you the latest coaching news. Travis Kelce is not a fan of this accusation. And is Micah Parsons getting you pumped up with this deck? Declaration. That's next.